punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good night, all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And it's Friday, and guess what day it is also? It's the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. I'll have more about them coming up here shortly. Temperatures are all in the 50s. It looks like in eastern Oklahoma, northeastern, basically, they're in the 60s, but the, what is it, Slapout and Beaver, you're the coolest in the state right now. And when I say coolest, I mean temperature-wise. It is currently, why did my computer go away? There it is, 49 degrees there. Actually, it's also 49 degrees in Arnett, capital Ellis County, and home of the famous Lori Campbell. 50 degrees in Cheyenne, 53 Hollis, 52 in Altus, on up here to Lahoma, 54, and Fairview, you're 54. This is pretty cool out there. Not everybody got rain last night. It kind of went the way they started predicting yesterday morning towards the, I'm looking at this rain forecast. I mean, we all got a little bit of sprinkle, but from basically Hollis to south of Mangum to south of Hobart up towards Hydro, that direction east got pretty good rain. Looks like south of Hollis or on the southern part of Hollis there, they got inch and a half of rain. But between Childress and Altus, they got big rains. Let me see what this color means here. Anywhere from 2.5 to 4 inches of rain in that area. And over at Frederick, they got somewhere around, unless his radar screen's wrong, looks like they got anywhere from 1 to 2 inches. So anyway, there were some good rains in that part of the state. The northwestern part, not so good. So didn't get much up there, and I'm sorry, nothing I can do about it. But according to the reports I got earlier, about an hour ago, next week, that rain coming into western Oklahoma should get the panhandle in all of western Oklahoma. Maybe. We'll see. It's all a prediction. All we can do is pray and hope that we all get a good rain. Text line is open at 580-225-9697. We are streaming live on Facebook on KECO. And we are streaming live on the website, KECOFM.com. Also streaming on our Paragon app on your phone. Paragon Communications app is free. Download it. So no matter where you're at, I had a lady text in yesterday. She was in Louisiana listening. And so she was on her way back home. She was either on Facebook or on her app. But anyway, man, it's just easy. It's easy to do, to listen to the show. We are also live on 96.5 KECO and 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. Well, last night I called an old friend of mine when I was coming home, old Kip, up there in the Ringland area, north of Ringland, actually. But he hadn't talked to him in a long time. He's a good dude. He just, I don't know. I love him, I guess. I met him, what would it be? This is 2022. I'd say back in 2017, 18. I was doing a frack up there north of Ringland, and he was my landowner that I was dealing with for getting water and stuff. And when I first met him, it wasn't the best of a meeting, because the drilling rig had sucked one of his ponds dry, and they had to either get more water from another pond to fill it back up and stuff. So anyway, I was always honest with him, and I got to get lots of water from him on one of his pivots up north of where I was fracking. But he was just a good person. to say he was different than most farmers. He's not. He was a typical farmer up there. But we got to knowing each other. I did two fracks up there and bought some water from him from other sources that he had, and we become friends. Well, I hadn't talked to him in a while, so I called him last night, and he'd been recovering. He'd got his butt whipped from a bull, and I don't remember. I think he said it broke his leg and some other stuff. Anyway, I told him, you know, you're not supposed to have those kind of animals around, but he admitted it wasn't the bull's fault, and it was human error. And that's probably about 95% of the injuries caused from cattle, whether they're bulls, cows, or calves, is human error in the getting hurt. Because nowadays, if you're keeping a mean cow or a mean bull around, that's your own fault. You get rid of it and get a new one. But we got to talking, and he was glad that we are now live on 100.1 out of Woodward up there, so he can listen to it because he can pick it up there where he lives. And but at Helena, I said Ringland, he's at Helena. So anyway, he's they've been going through the same thing as most of us have been going through. Drought, being dry, got their wheat planted, streaks of wheat up, streaks of wheat not, grasshoppers getting outside. I will tell you while I'm thinking about that, and grasshoppers and stuff, last 3 or 4 days I've seen a lot of blackbirds and a lot of different fields of rye or wheat around our area in my travels, so be careful and keep an eye out for those army worms. So something's going on out there if a lot of blackbirds are in the area. So I didn't get out and look at any of them, but I'm assuming that. But blackbirds don't graze on wheat or rye, so there's something going on, so you guys keep a lookout for that. So anyway, we had a good conversation. I told him about my first time for growing corn and sent him some pictures. And anyway, he reads the Penny News also, so that's good. So anyway, we're gonna meet up because he raises them really good, Black Angus bulls up there. We talked about that last night. So anyway, just good conversation to talk with the farmer and rancher from a different area of the state, Oklahoma. So all is good there. All right, let's see what's happening in the real world of the grain markets. The futures are looking like they are kind of steady. The soybeans are up a little bit. Corn's even, so is Milo. December futures on corn, 682. March is 687. July, 681. Soybeans are 1389. For November, January is 1399. March is 1408. And May is $14.15. Soybean meal, December, $424.10 a short ton. January is $414.90. March is $405.40. Soybean oil, December $71.50, January $69.03, March $66.70. Hard red winter wheat, December futures $9.29, and March is the same, $9.29. Oats, man, there's just nothing crazy about oats ever. But anyway, they've been going backwards, but they're steady today. December is $3.59 a bushel, $3.68 for March. Head on down here. Let's see. Well, man, cotton just keeps going backwards. December, 75 cents a pound, and March is 74 cents a pound. I hadn't checked in on the sugar to see what Mr. Bill Dance is doing out there in the Dale High area. And he just holding steady. He doesn't lose any money, but he doesn't gain any either. It's sugar, number 11, is 17 cents a pound. So anyway, what's oil doing today? Oil's down a little bit, a couple bucks, $87.57 for West Texas crude. Natural gas has gone backwards, which is good for people wanting to buy fertilizer for the future, because it should help, you would think. I don't know. There's a lot more going on with fertilizer, and I think we know. And I think it's greediness myself, not from our local dealers, but from the suppliers. Natural gas for December is $5.61. All right, let's see what's happening with the cash grain prices at the elevator in Texas and in Oklahoma. And I average that out always. And where's it at? Right here. Hard red winter wheat is 878 at the elevator today. Corn 766 and Milo 706, and soybeans are $13.73. Anyway, let's see what's causing the ruckus today. I'm about tired of seeing Ukraine in there every day, but honestly, I don't see it in here right now. Good. Soybean and grain futures were lower in overnight trading on forecasts for favorable weather conditions in the United States and South America. As much as six times the normal amount of rain has fallen in the past 6 weeks, in the past week in parts of Missouri and Arkansas, with soft red winter wheat is growing, according to the National Weather Service. The precipitation in the past 7 days was centered over southern Missouri and reached several states, including Oklahoma and northwestern Arkansas. In South America, rains this week favored parts of the Rio Grande and another one, Bahia, I guess is how you say that. That's probably not very good Spanish, but it's close as you're going to get with this cat. And in Argentina, rainfall in parts of several states will improve soil moisture a bit through dry weather, and stress will start to build again next week. Brazil is forecast by the United States Department of Agriculture to produce a record 152 million metric tons of soybeans this year, which, if realized, will be up from 127 million tons last year. So that's 25 million tons more than they did last year, so that's quite a bit. Argentina's production is expected to be around 51 million metric tons, which is up about 7 million from last year, according to the USDA. Soybean futures for January delivery dropped 7.5 cents to $13.86 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal fell $1 to $4.1440 a short ton, while soybean oil lost about $0.5 to $71.75 a pound. Corn for December delivery was down 2.25 cents to $6.80 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery fell 7 pennies to $8.31.5 a bushel in Chicago, while Kansas City futures dropped 9.5 cents to $9.22.75 a bushel. Corn and bean exports sales dropped from week to week. It plunged, actually. Corn sales in the week that ended on October 20th total 264,000 metric tons. That's down from 408,000 metric tons a week earlier. China was the big buyer, 157,000 pounds basically, and Mexico bought 110,000 tons. Not pounds, but tons. The total would have been higher, but as you all know, guys all know, an unnamed country canceled 65,700 tons, and Colombia nixed a couple of cargo ships of 14,000 tons. Soybean sales were lower at 1.03 million metric tons, and that's down from 2.34 million metric tons a week earlier. Wheat sales to overseas buyers, meanwhile, jumped to 533,000 metric tons, and that's from 163,000 tons a week earlier. So that's pretty good. Wheat sales are up. It's good. Anyway, let's see what's weather's doing all over our agriculture area, the Corn Belt, the Southern Plains. Weather maps are pretty quiet this morning, according to the National Weather Service. There's forecasts for showers for parts of the Southern Plains today. Some strong storms remain possible, yet this moving in parts of west central Texas. The main hazards will be hail, gusty winds, and lightning. Parts of southern and central Oklahoma also will be see some thunderstorms today and tonight. Further north into central Kansas, extremely dry weather starting tomorrow will increase chances of wildfire. Gusty winds, low humidity, and high temperatures will combine to create dry conditions for the next week in most of Kansas and in Nebraska. All right, when I get back, we'll talk livestock. I got some results from Woodward yesterday. Kind of go over a few of those, and Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now as we speak. Hollis, Oklahoma, Hollis Livestock Auction will be going on there tomorrow, and take a day off Sunday, come back Monday, The Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be going on there on I-40 east of Clinton on the north side of the highway there, on the other side of the fence from the highway. How's that? Anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a huge trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love huge trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back to the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. The Wheeler General Store is the go-to store in Wheeler County, Texas, from animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies. They are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be ready to sell you, to help you with all their product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. They are located 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, and they look forward to serving you. And they are really good people, and it's just out there on the east side of Wheeler, coming in on 152 and 6. Easy to find. Go see him. You won't regret going to see him, because they've got everything. It's pretty cool. When I drove by there a while back, and you just look over there and your mouth's watering. I don't know that your tongue's hanging out, but you're going, man, I need some of that stuff. Anyway, go check out the Wheeler General Store in Wheeler, Texas. Thank you so much. All right, let's check some stuff out here. Wrong one. There we go. I got a text in also from up north in the northwestern part of the state, and they said not only do the, you know, there was, I was talking about green bugs and army worms and all that other good stuff, and they said they may have hogs too in their newly planted wheat. It's just great being a farmer. I said, yes, it is. At certain times, it's not. Anyway, so anyway, thanks for texting in. All right, let's check out what's happening on the live cattle and the feeder cattle today. Honestly, I have not looked since this morning. Let's see what's happening. Live cattle's in the red and feeders in the green to steady. Nothing crazy going on, but live cattle for October 150.37, December 153.02, February 156.45, April 159.32, feeder cattle for November 178.12, January 180.47, December 85.90, February 88.97, and April's 92.97. Well, I was looking up some stuff a while ago on the USDA Woodward Livestock Auction Feeder Cattle Report, and let's check it out. It had 2,788 head in there yesterday, compared to almost 3,300 head last week, and there was 2,446 head sold this time last year. And I'll just go through here and check out some. Let's check out some 500-pounders. Some 509-pound steers ranged anywhere up to $1.96 a pound, and they were winged. 519 pounds unwinged up to $182. Down here in the 700-pound range, we had some 721s that were winged, brought $1.78. Some 734 unwinged, $1.61. And let's check out some 800-pounders, 828 winged, 167, 808 unwinged, 161. Scroll down here and look what's going on with some of the heifers. Let's start with some 400-pounders. Let's pick 400-pounders. 437-pound winged brought 191. Unwinged 436-pounders brought $1.80. 611-pound unwinged brought 158.50. Some 629 winged brought 171. So there you go. Just give you a little breakdown. Looks like everything may be up a few dollars looking at it. Let's see. Feeder steers and heifers were steady. At least 45-day winged steer calves with shots, $3 to $5 higher, with unwinged or short-winged steers calves up to $15 higher than it was last week. Heifer calves $5 to $10 higher. Demand was moderate, quality was average. Well, there you go on that deal there. All right, let me get out of that and go to this next one. I want you guys to be thinking about something after this next break. Do you guys remember the tractor back in the 70s? Late 70s and early, I guess it was really introduced in the early 80s, about the time I graduated in 80, so it was about that time frame. Do you remember the tractor? It was red, and they called it Snoopy. Think about that. And I want you to think about that tractor during this next upcoming break, because I'm going to talk a little bit about once a month, twice a month. I like to talk about equipment out there, and I remember this tractor. So I want you to think about, what's he talking about? A red tractor called Snoopy. I bet old Bill Dance over there at Delhi remembers old Snoopy. But anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about it this upcoming break, kind of break up the deal. So anyway, if you remember what it is, I want you to text in during the show just in the next 10, 15 minutes. To text lines open to everybody in our listening area, 580-225-9697. And if you got to drive one or if you actually own one, I want to hear about it and I want to hear your response on it. So anyway, it was a cool tractor, I thought. At first, it was like, oh, I don't know if I can handle that. But once you've seen it operate and drove it, it was actually a pretty cool tractor. So anyway, do you guys know how much hay your cow actually consumes? I know most of you guys are like me out there. You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, 3 bales per cow per year. Is that with the calf on her, or is that with the calf in her? So anyway, we're going to discuss that later on in the show too, to see exactly how much a 1,200 pound cow. Yes, you hit it right on the button. I already got one text in. He, you're not even old enough to remember that. You had to Google that. Anyway, yes, you're correct. That is one of them. Yes. Anyway, so we're going to discuss what it takes to feed a cow, because this year is a little different. Hay's hard to come by, and if you want to get everything right, you don't want to hurt a cow by starving or any or anything, but with feed costs going on, shortage of hay, everybody, you need to think about what you're doing and treat your cows right, but treat them going on. And also, I got the final results in from the American Royal, and there's actually a couple of people from Oklahoma, state Oklahoma, did really good in the American Royal. It's, I think it's 18 days long. Got all the final results in on that. I'll go over that with you here shortly. And when I come back, we'll talk about the Northwestern Oklahoma's weather forecast, and we'll also talk about the Snoopy tractor. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, October 21st. 2,227 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 469 brought 185. 7 at 506 brought 173. 11 at 538 brought 159.50. 7 at 589 brought 145. 3 at 667 brought 137. 13 at 678 brought 172.50. 10 at 821 brought 155. 12 head of heifers at 394 brought 176. 6 at 428 brought 167. 10 at 476 brought 164, 4 at 499 brought 155, 13 at 541 brought 159.50, 4 at 573 brought 143, 5 at 647 brought 145.50. Butcher cows were 10 to 78.50, butcher bulls brought 54 to 107, bred cows were 600 to 1325, pairs brought 850 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
For the first time ever, 30% off all Springer mattresses at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet. Now you can get that just right feeling on a Springer mattress with our biggest discount ever, 30% off. And rest easy, we have credit plans for everybody and every budget with up to 48 months, no interest financing available. 30% off all Springer mattresses at Galleria, Oklahoma owned and operated. Your money stays here. Buy local and save at Galleria Furniture and Mattress Outlet with 6 locations.
Galleria Furniture next to Tractor Supply in Elk City.
Moments like watching my grandson's deal second mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that is spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for postmenopausal women or for men with HR-positive, HER2-negative NBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance branch may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
. 52 degrees at the airport at Woodward, Oklahoma. Humidity is 72. The winds are out of the north at 8 miles an hour. And today's forecast, along with about 4 or 5 more days of it. How's that? Partly sunny, 60 for a high today. Tomorrow, very nice, 64. 68 Sunday, 72 Monday, 75 Tuesday. Looks like pretty nice forecast. I know you guys ain't got much rain up there here the last couple go-arounds, but anyway, those temperatures look pretty nice, and there's not going to be a lot of wind involved, so you can conserve what conserve what water you got in the ground right now, and hopefully soon we'll get a surprise and some rain coming up. All right, so let's talk about that. IH2+2. You guys remember that big old long nose first when it come out? I just thought, oh, how ugly. But then, you know, kind of it grew on you. But I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I think the IH2+2 tractors are the single most misunderstood machines to ever wear red paint. They really were a game-changing design, but they absolutely polarized people. Either you loved them or you thought they were the most ghastly thing you ever seen. There really was no in-between. With that being said, let's dig in a little bit here. International Harvester was a player in the growing four-wheel drive tractors during the 70s. Steiger was building an articulated IH models for them at the time, starting with the 4366. Which is a great story, by the way, on its own, but they weren't really setting the world on fire. Steiger, Big Bud, and Versatile seemed to own the market. However, nobody was really building anything in the mid-size market. So you only had basically three options if you were a row crop farmer. Go big with Steiger Bearcat or a Cougar and suck it up when it came time to pay for it, and plus fill that fuel tank up. Buy a front-wheel assist row crop tractor and hope for the best. Almost every FWA at the time was hydraulic, not mechanical. Throw as much weight on your two-wheel drive tractor as you possibly could, crank the pump wide open, and risk shelling a motor or trashing the driveline. Nobody really had great mid-size options. That's where Harvester saw an opportunity. Thus, Project TX-160 was born. The parameters were pretty simple. Articulated, PTO, four-wheel drive, dual-friendly, 130, 150, 170 horse options, mid-size, and maneuverable in row crop operation. The last requirement was the kicker. Harvester was betting that it could build a more agile four-wheel drive in a mid-size package. There would be a market for them row crop farmers who wanted more capability but didn't want to size up all their implements. Guys who could use a bigger tractor but not have it so be so expensive that it was their only tractor. For a few years, Harvester's engineers have been kicking around a design that would combine the back half of one of their two-wheel drive tractors with another gearbox axle combo out front with a bendy bit in between the two. It would be their full-time four-wheel drive with wheels of equal size similar to other models but with a twist. Their idea was that if you put the driver in the back half instead of in the middle, it would work better in row crop operation. The driver would be closer to the business end of and could actually see what was going on at the hitch 3-point level. You couldn't do that with the traditional square-shaped four-wheel drives. The 3388 and the 3588 made it the back half of the 10 with a 1086 with a long frame and the hood housing, the engine, the fuel tank, and a front axle with from Kymco, an offshoot of Komatsu, who was partner with IH at the time. The 3388 got its power from a turbocharged DT436B and the 3588 from the turbocharged DT466B. After some discussion and prototyping, this is what they arrived at. The wonkiest looking tractor ever built. Yeah, it went about like you'd imagine. According to Bud Yoel, one of the TX160 project managers, the first thing that came out of everybody's mouth was, "My God, who thought of that ugly SB?" So you need to think about it for a second. You'll figure out what SB stands for, all right? Look aside. I'm being nice is what I'm trying to tell you. Look aside, though, once they saw the drawing and the prototypes, they felt a little better about it. At the end of the day, you can't argue with performance, and the 2x2 had it. It didn't lose any traction, period, even if it was an ugly SB. Why did it work? Well, the traditional two-wheel drive row crop tractors were setting around 3070 set in steel. The bias goes very heavily towards the rear when the tractor is under load, such as heavy tillage. When that happens, the front end gets light and the wheels come up. If you pull a full rack of suitcase weights on the front, it'll keep your nose down. However, you'll still end up with losing tractor and your motor has to work harder with all that extra weight. It'll be harder on the soil too due to increased compaction. With the 2x2, the weight balance was 46-54, with 54% of that weight setting over the front wheels with the engine and the fuel tanks. The front end was held down. Furthermore, when under load, the weight balance shifts backwards. It allowed the rear wheels to work in concert together. It rarely ever lost traction because it was more available for power at the ground. A little bit more. Furthermore, during the turning radius was crazy good. It could turn itself in just about 16 feet, better than most front wheel assist row crop tractors that were available at that time. Not bad for a tractor which would happen to have a 11 to 12 foot nose. Of all the IH 2x2 models, the 3588 sold the best. And there's still some of them on the market. If you look on some of those auction lines, they're still there. But to their credit, the Harvester knew that the 2x2 wouldn't sell itself on looks alone. They knew that if the Anteater was going to sell, I called it Snoopy, but some people called it the Anteater, people would need to see it in action and, if all possible, drive it. So the 3388 and the 3588 was launched in January of 1979. I was a junior then. As part of the Red Power Showdown at the big to-do down in Phoenix at the Dick Van Dyke Studios. Harvester flew dealers in by group, starting with the Delta region. As expected, there was no middle ground as far as what they thought with the visual perspective. But when they saw it outworked, a tuned-up 4840 in the field, they started to come around pretty fast. Because you guys all know back in the late 70s and early 80s, the 4640 and the 4840 and the 4440 was the bad go-to tractors then. Then the dealers knew that they had a machine that they could sell, and they did. Eventually, farmers started to come around despite the tractor's unflattering nicknames. Anteater, Snoopy, Land Shark was probably the most popular. The IH2x2s were selling, not like the 1066 or the 4440 were selling, but Harvester was moving units. Let me get through this a little bit. It was a long article, and I'm almost about done. Here we go. So was the IH 2x2, was it a failure? This gentleman wrestled with this question for a week or so, and he really never reached a good answer. I mean, if we're looking at total production, was around 13,000 units. That puts in the same territory. That puts it in the same territory as actually the John Deere 4840. I don't know who thinks the 4840 was a flop. I don't. Do you? Heck, I know a guy down in Missouri farms over 2,500 acres with a pair of 4840s as his big horses right now. So it's just one of those things. They ended up, it's just an interesting theory about those. But furthermore, because you weren't fighting the traction, you could use less fuel also with those tractors. Sadly, there's not many of these tractors, how many of these tractors were used. The whole instant BTO mindset contributed to a lot of wrecked drive lines, blown motors, and worse. And I just got a text in from a gentleman a while ago that, no, he does not like them. And where's that? Where's that at right here? Where do you go? There he goes. Nope, that ain't it. Where'd he go? Oh, no, there it is. He said, no, sir, he didn't like it. He worked for a guy in Abernathy, Texas, that had two. He said one was for using and the other one was for parts. I'm just wondering if that guy he was working for was one of these guys that liked to turn up the engines. They said that not many of these tractors used. The whole instant BTO mindset contributed to a lot of wrecked drive lines, blown motors, and worse. I mean, if you looked in the owner's manual of the 33 and the 3588, you'd see they didn't even have a front axle that was rated for front duals. That was not a mistake. That was on purpose. So there you go. So anyway, I thought it was kind of interesting to talk about this. It's been a long time since I thought about that. I've seen that article. Anyway, so I know there's a bunch of you guys out there that remember seeing those ungodly things, but like I said, it ended up growing on me. So I got a couple of texts in on here. The Anteater, there you go. Mr. Schneeberger over there in the Burns Flat area, he called it the Anteater. So yep. Anyway, so I hope you guys enjoyed that little deal, bring back a little bit of tractor history. So anyway, I want to listen to what Jerry Nines got about what actually happened yesterday over there on the long-term deal and what's coming up next Tuesday. When we come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast for you.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First sale last Tuesday, October 25th. We sold 903 cow foals and Thursday, October 27th, we sold 2,788 calves and feeders for a total of 3,691 cows for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows bring 70 up to 86. 10 cows bring 48.5 to 62, with our bulls bringing 65 to 101. Two-day year-old bred cows, 875 to 1,300, with our two-day year-old pairs, 1,300 to 1,350. Under steer cattle, 3-350 weight steers, 212 to 228, 4 to 450, 203 to 211, 5 to 550, 161 to 196, 6 to 650, 169 to 186, 7 to 750 steers, 161 to 178, 8 to 850, 166, to 167, 9 to 950 steers, 162 to 172.50. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 173 to 189, 4 to 450, 180 to 191, 5 to 550 heifers, 148 to 168.5, 6 to 650, 148 to 171, 750 day weight heifers, 148 to 163, 8 to 850 heifers, 160 to 162, and 55 heifers weighing 933, bring 168, that's $1,567 a head. Very aggressive market, particularly on the long wing feeder steers. Calves were 3 to 5 higher. Our unwinged good strength of them good calves was up to 15 higher. For this Tuesday, November the 1st, we will have 40 bred cows, 4 to 8 years old. We got 50 other bred cows and a few pairs off of them running age. More by sell time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've all heard the expression, practice makes perfect. But at Kumon Learning Centers, we believe practice makes possibilities. Imagine what your child could achieve with math and reading mastery at an early age. No one achieves greatness by accident. They practice. Right now, enjoy free registration and save up to $50 at Kumon, where practice makes possibilities. Call 1-800-ABC-MATH to book an orientation today.
Simply put, Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City is Western Oklahoma's number one choice for delicious dining. Simon's Catch features all-you-can-eat farm-fresh catfish, family recipe shrimp, USDA choice steaks, and mouth-watering desserts, including cheesecake and brownie pie. Make dinner tonight simple. Simon's Catch Restaurant in Elk City. From I-40, exit 34, go 1.5 miles south and 1.5 miles west. Simon's Catch Restaurant open at 5, Wednesday through Saturday, and at noon on Sunday.
Good afternoon, all you great stewards of the land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 24th. 1,978 head were sold, 13 head of steers at 430 brought 207, 5 at 509 brought 184, 16 at 529 brought 181, 14 at 565 brought 175, 5 at 579 brought 170, 3 at 667 brought 144, 4 at 793 brought 171, 13 head of heifers at 438 brought 176, 9 at 507 brought 157, 3 at 570 brought 145, 4 at 646 brought 153, 3 at 665 brought 167, 18 at 669 brought 166.50, 4 at 1023 brought 130. Butcher cows were 7 to 80, butcher bulls brought 35 to 108, bred cows were 900 to 1375, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
When somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle, no matter where it may be. If you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the Wheeler General Store. Happy Cap Hour. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Currently in Elk City at the Mezzanet Center out here south town. 53 degrees. The winds have kicked up now. They're north, out of the north at 16 miles an hour. The wind gust up to 20. Humidity is 90%. Nobody's baling hay right now, but today, 60% chances, slight chance of storms. 60% slight chance. Where does that come from? Anyway, 56 for a high. Tomorrow, 62 for a high. Sunday, 67. Monday, 70. And Tuesday, 71. Looks like the winds are going to be pretty much after today kind of calm for Western Oklahoma. There you go. And then I had a guy text me in on my personal phone, Mr. JS, I'll call him. He sent me a deal on the International Harvester 3788 when it was brought out in 1980 and 81. Anyway, there was a total of 2,496 of those built, and the cost was $57,000. So that's what it was. Wonder what if they built one today, what it'd cost? Probably about $250,000, $300,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. So anyway, thanks for sending that in to me. Let's go on about their business. Oh, let's talk about the American Royal. 18-day livestock show finally came to close last week, but they just released all the information out on it actually yesterday afternoon. The 123rd Annual American Royal Livestock Show come to close on Sunday, October 23rd. 2,100 exhibitors filled the American Royal Complex for the nation's highest caliber livestock show. During the 18 event, 4,000 head of livestock was exhibited and champions were crowned. This year, over $500,000 in premiums and scholarships will be was awarded and to the exhibitors in the youth and the agriculture. Though the livestock show and junior premium livestock auction, the American Royal annually contributes to its mission of providing youth scholarships and agriculture educational programs. And they do. They do a great job. Numerous champions were crowned in the market, junior breeding, and open breeding animals shows throughout that event. The livestock show is known for providing youth exhibitors the opportunity to showcase their hard work on a national stage. All right, let's get down to the good stuff. In the market animal show, the grand and reserve champion steer, barrow, lamb, and a goat were crowned and earned the right to participate in the Royal Elite Drive held on October 14th. If I remember right, I think the American Royal was going on at maybe the same time as the National FFA Convention back when it was held in Kansas City. My memory's not that good, but it seems like that was, I think that's what started the, no, it wasn't what started the American Royal, but it was coincided, and then they moved it to Indianapolis. The grand champion steer was exhibited by Harper Henning of Indiana. Reserve champion steer was exhibited by Cooper Cummings of Oklahoma. Grand champion market barrow was exhibited by Abby Lillard of Kansas. And reserve champion market barrow was exhibited by Braden Lancaster of Kentucky. The grand champion market lamb was exhibited by Madison Woods of California, and the reserve was by Hayton Schrader of Texas. The grand champion market goat was exhibited by Kara Cummins of Oklahoma. I wonder if her and Cooper are kin. I don't keep up as much with all these kids that I'm too many to keep up with. But anyway, Kara Cummins of Oklahoma was a reserve champion market goat and was exhibited by Keena Cooley of Kansas. So anyway, on the breeding side, the grand champion breeding animals, the supreme champion junior heifer was exhibited by Cheyenne Brunker of Kansas. Grand champion breeding gilt was exhibited by Deacon Shelton of Indiana. The breeding ewe was exhibited by Trey Gortaska. Yeah, that's pretty close, of Iowa. And the breeding doe grand champion was exhibited by Raiden Rogers of Arizona. Well, speaking of stock shows, you got to know what's coming up here in about, I don't know, 3 weeks? Less than 3 weeks is the, they are. Well, where are they from if you're so smart, woman? Send me a text back. Anyway, they're brother and sister. I just got a text anyway. All right. Coming up, the 41st Annual Elk City Chamber of Commerce, Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show. They're from Hollis. Thank you very much. You would know that, wouldn't you? Anyway, thank you. Kara and, I already forgot. Kara and what was the other? Cooper. Yeah, they're from Hollis. Congratulations. I got it, woman. Anyway, coming up, the Oklahoma National Junior Heifer Show, Elk City, will be November 18th and 19th at the Elk City Convention Center Complex. Deadline to enter is on the 14th, and late entry deadline November 18th. Show is November 19th at 9 a.m., and we'll get somebody from there to come in the studio and talk about that. That's a big heifer show. Plus, they're going to have the Western Oklahoma Heifer Show going on at Clinton that following day. The Oklahoma Western Heifer Show will be on November 20th, at Clinton, and right after, the day after the Elk City. So anyway, good things coming. The shows begin. We got all kinds of stuff going on. Bull sales will start coming up here in January, probably. We got the Cattlemen's Congress coming up in Oklahoma City in January. Man, it's just the exciting time of the year. But first, we got to get the cotton, the peanuts out. Everybody's got to finish sowing up their wheat and rye and whatever else they're doing. And I know me and a couple other guys, we have some corn we got to get out. And then we'll worry about having fun with cattle. So anyway, yeah, it's been a crazy week in farming, and I hope everybody has a great weekend. I'll discuss the consumption of hay Monday with you guys. I don't have time to, I only got about a minute left, so it's not good deal. But I will tell you guys, speaking of corn harvest is more than 75% complete. In about six states, North Carolina being one of them, they're 94% complete. And Tennessee is 94% complete. Texas is 93% complete on corn harvest. Kentucky is around 85%. I think that's about it. Anyway, there's a lot of them getting their corn out. I don't know what, I think I read what it was in Oklahoma here the other day on the weekly crop report. I'll have another one coming out for you Monday. And anyway, it's going to be a great weekend. I got to start moving, and then things are going to be drying out this weekend, and we're going to have I bet we get back to peanut harvest here next by, well, Sunday would be a little early, I think, because of this weather. Monday, maybe get back to peanut harvest and get some stuff done. Enjoy it, because we got more weather coming in towards the latter part of next week. You guys have a great weekend. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, and God bless.